So my allergies are really kicked up today for whatever reason. So if you hear a little clicking and sucking on a cough drop, excuse me, I'm sorry. But if I wasn't sucking on a cough drop, it'd be a whole lot of coughing. So if you're keeping track and counting the Omer, you know that last night was the start of the 46th day at sundown. And tonight we'll start the 47th day, counting to the 50th day, Shavuot, which is on Tuesday at sunset. When we look at Shavuot in Scripture, the holiday of Shavuot, it appears to be a harvest festival. In fact, the latter harvest festival. The earlier harvest festival was first fruits observed just after Passover. And that would be a time that the barley was ready in Israel. And this latter harvest festival is a time that the wheat would be ready in Israel. Now, since it's a midweek this year, I want to take some time to discuss it today. And then next week, right after service, we're going to have our miknik, that time of our mikvah immersion service, as well as a picnic. So that for those who wish to be immersed, to go through the waters as a public proclamation of your faith, we will have that opportunity. Just talk to myself or Revison. Let us know how many are planning on that. It's also going to be a great time of fellowship as we gather together, eat together. And, you know, we're just not going to have our normal Oneg and Torah for today here. Now, as we read about these feast days of Adonai in Leviticus 23, that chapter that walks us through all the feasts of the Lord, we see the timings of all the feasts, and we read about the first fruits and Shavuot. They appear to be harvest feasts, harvest festivals. You know, an offering of grain to Adonai, thanking him for the harvest. Of course, there's also the blood sacrifices. But it's more than just a harvest festival. They actually are days on the calendar that indicate the plan of salvation for the world that Adonai has and has laid out. The seven feasts walk us through the prophetic time that Adonai has in store for each and every one of us. The spring feast, the first parts of it, you know, first half of the seven feasts, the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruit, the Shavuot, all have been fulfilled, prophetically fulfilled by the sacrifice of Yeshua, the deliverance of sin by the blood of Yeshua, his rising up from the grave, and the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh. It's the fall feasts that we look forward to being fulfilled still to come, which will complete the plan of Adonai. Then we'll see Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot fulfilled by the regathering of the people at the second coming of Yeshua, the judgment before him when we stand before the throne, and then the time that we'll live forever in his presence, as long as we're judged acceptable and clean and cleansed by the blood. So let's take a look first at Leviticus 23, that place where we see the timing of it, what Shavuot is. And of course, Shavuot is also known as Pentecost, which comes from the Greek for 50th. So Leviticus 23, a passage there starting in verse 15. Then you are to come from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the Omer of the wave offering, seven complete Shabbat, which is plural for Sabbaths. Until the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, you are to count 50 days and then present the new grain offering to Adonai. You are to bring out of your houses two loaves of bread for the wave offering, made of 2/10 of an ephod of flour. They're to bake with hummus as first fruits to Adonai. You are to present along with the bread seven 1-year-old lambs without blemish, one young bull, and two rams. They will become a burnt offering to Adonai, with their meal offering and their drink offering, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to Adonai. Also, you are to offer one male goat for a sin offering, and a pair of year-old male lambs for the sacrifice of fellowship offerings. We have the description of the when and the what to do. It's to be 50 days after the Shabbat, that is Passover. Then we give thanks for the harvest with the offering of both grain with hummus, or yeast, with the burnt offerings of the animals. It was sometime after the Second Temple was destroyed that the rabbis found that the Torah, or the tablets that Adonai wrote the commandments on, that were given to Moses for the people, happened on the same day. This has become the emphasis since then, that the instructions of Adonai were given on Shavuot. They are the way to walk and live out our lives for Adonai. Excuse me. Then we see that Adonai enlightened the people with another event that would bring us closer to the end of the timeline that he established. We find that in Acts 2. Remember that Shavuot is one of the three feasts that all the able-bodied men would have come to Jerusalem. And we read that this happened in Acts 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. Oh, where are we? Now, first of all, just a little rabbit hole, love rabbit trail here. It says, as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. But the truth is that everyone, we're told that everyone heard in their own language. So it wasn't that they were speaking the strange language. Those who spoke the strange language heard what Adonai was saying directly into them. But there are some there that would place the emphasis on this reading from Acts on the Ruach being given. Wouldn't be a bad thing. There are some who would put the emphasis on the fact that they spoke in other tongues. Not so bad. But I think the real emphasis should be placed not on the what, but the when. When it occurred. It was on the day of Shavuot, we're told, which is not a coincidence. Adonai had them wait in Jerusalem for just this day. Just this day. So that the giving of the Ruach would be on the same day as the giving of the instructions on Mount Sinai. Just as the giving of the instructions of the were for the sacrifices and the priests to make those sacrifices. We were given the Torah. It was also that it was to help the people live out their lives in a manner that would be righteous for them. The giving of the Ruach was to help live out the instructions by understanding them. And by being our counsel on how to live rightly, by the same instructions. He didn't change the instructions in Acts. They were being told how to live out the same instructions that were given on Mount Sinai at that time. These are the instructions that now apply as Messiah Yeshua and the giving of his blood as the sacrifice. Not different. Perhaps even more importantly to that day is the why the people were actually there. The people of Acts were gathered together to lean into Adonai. They believed that Yeshua, that they saw, was the Messiah, is the Messiah. And they were there to search and pray together so they would get to know him better. Actually, they were there waiting because Yeshua told them to wait. Told them that there was something to come. The people on Mount Sinai, they were there for the same reason. It looked different in the ways that they were looking, in the ways that what they found. And it looked a bit different in how they received it. But what they actually received from Adonai in both cases are the same thing. A way to live and a way to walk with Adonai for all eternity. At Mount Sinai, it was the words to live by and the sacrificial system and the system of priests to actually help them understand what the words were and what to do and how to do and to do for them. In Jerusalem, the people were given the Ruach to help them live by that same system that Adonai gave them at Mount Sinai. They were immersed into the Ruach, which we represent with the immersion in water today. We gain salvation with the acceptance of his words, and that is when we ask and allow the Ruach into our hearts. It's when we're immersed into him. The water immersion is a representation of the same thing. We are to accept the gift of salvation and the gift of the Ruach for a reason Adonai has planned, always had planned, and never changed his plan. And he wants to know what that, and he wants us to know what it is. So what does Adonai want that can only occur by the immersion of the Ruach in us, later represented by the immersion of the mikvah? Well, Exodus 19 includes a passage that tells us what that is. In that passage of Exodus 19, Adonai tells Moses who we're to be. Exodus 19:5, starting there. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine. So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim, of priests, and a holy nation, Kadosh. These are the words which you are to speak to Bnei Israel. So Moses went, called the elders of the people, and put before them all these words that Adonai had commanded him. Adonai wants for himself a kingdom of holy priests and a holy nation to fellowship with him. As Adam and Eve were to be pure and holy so they could be in fellowship with him, so we now are to be the same. After the sin of Adam and Eve, it was up to the priests to perform the sacrifices to cleanse the people of the sin they committed. But now, we're to be the priests. We're to be the priests, each one of us the priests of Adonai. We offer up sacrifices of our own. But more importantly, we accept the offering that Yeshua made for us. And as each of us are priests, we each are to accept the offering and live out our lives because of it. No longer are there priests to approach Adonai for the people. Now the people, which is each of us, is a priest who approach Adonai individually. This is why we're to be priests and holy, to approach and have fellowship with him and to reveal to the world who Adonai is. And to be in fellowship with him, to prepare the way, sort of to speak, as we sung earlier today. In Romans, Shaul says the same thing for the people then and now. Romans 12:1, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Shaul says to present yourself as not the same sacrifice that Yeshua was, because, well, that would be impossible. None of us are pure enough to be the same sacrifice that Yeshua was, is. But the sacrifice that we make is of the flesh, and giving up the worldly things that they try to push upon us, either by temptation or by trickery. By this act of sacrifice, we can then come closer to Adonai in fellowship with him. The mikvah, or the immersion, is a time of fellowship and celebration of those who make the decision to be immersed in the waters. And before you make that decision, you should know why you're making that decision. It should be made with the consultation of the Ruach, which Yeshua tells us is the helper to come. Let's look in Scripture for this. John 14:23. And I think this is an amazing couple of verses here. Yeshua answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The things I have spoken to you while dwelling with you. But the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you." Yeshua says there, if you love him and keep his word, then the Father will love you. And this is what I have to check a couple of different versions. It says, we will come to you and make our dwelling in you. I have to admit that I saw something I hadn't noticed there before. Yeshua says, we will come. He didn't say the Ruach will come. He didn't say the Father would come. He didn't say I would come. He says, we will come. What a great example of them being one. The Father, the Spirit, and the Son. He said, we will come. And we will be there to help. And they are there to help us make decisions that need to be made. This includes if we're ready to make a public proclamation about our faith. The mikveh is the public proclamation of a private decision. I say it's a private decision, but not one to be kept private. It means that you alone, along with the Ruach, have made the decision. It's not one that others can make for you. It's not one that others twist your arm to force you into making it. But it's made by your own accord that you have to make. You have to make the decision. You have to accept the Messiah, Yeshua. You have to make the decision to be immersed into waters to show the decision that you made to those around you and the world. Or maybe you're making the decision as a recommitment to him. Make no mistake, the water is not to be a bath. It's not a time to be cleansed. You're not washing your body. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 21. Corresponding to that, immersion now brings you to safety, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but a pledge to God of a good conscience through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. The immersion is not to clean the body, it's not to cleanse the spirit or the soul, but it's an indication of the pledge made to Adonai. This is why we can do the act of immersion, going through the waters, not only when we become saved, but even more importantly, when our spirit understands the pledge that we're making to Adonai. Much like a marriage, the pledge can be renewed multiple times. Perhaps the mikveh is during an anniversary year of your salvation, or after a large life event like a birth of a child or the changing of a job, or even just a repledging of yourself to His Word and the study of His Word, to His presence in your life. We can do it any time, as it's not what the world thinks, that it's a way of gaining salvation. You don't gain salvation going through the water. It is not the action that brings salvation, but it recognizes the pledge we make, as well as the act of Adonai in bringing freedom from sin and slavery. Now, how do we know that we can be done, that this can be done? Excuse me. How do we know that this can be done at any time after accepting our salvation? Any time after accepting Yeshua as our Savior? Well, we read this in 1 Corinthians about the Israelites after they came out of Egypt, that symbol of sin. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under a cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Here we can see that Shaul tells us of that time that the Israelites came out of Egypt and passed through the Red Sea. For them, that was their immersions. That was their going through the water, or what the world would want to call baptism. It is the timing that I want to speak about, though, right now. It's not before they were saved from the Egyptians, but it was afterwards. It was not the thing that brought them salvation and saving, but it's the recognition of what happened and the acceptance of it. Now, I would love to say that that sign of salvation is a sealing. You go through the water is a sealing of salvation, and you'll never have to worry about it again. It's just not true, though. And we see that in the history of Israel. They needed to again and again repent from their sins that they did afterwards. For us, it's the same today. The act of immersion is not a sign of a once and done salvation, but it's a sign of our heart at the time of doing it. So if you had slid back or you want to rededicate your walk, it's perfectly acceptable. It's encouraged, in fact. So to summarize, there are things to consider for those who have done it before, as well as those who have not done it before. So here are the five things that I would consider. If you've never gone through the waters before and you're ready to proclaim it as a sign of your commitment to Adonai, then you go through. Again, that outward sign of acceptance of Adonai and its plan of salvation in your life is what you're doing. The second, if it was done when you were a child and didn't have a choice, or if it was done before you can make the choice for yourself, then you should do it. As some of you already know, when we go through the immersion process, we don't hold you and put you under the water and then pull you back up. It's your choice, and you're the one who has to do it. You're the one who goes under yourself by yourself, and you're the one who comes up by yourself. If you did it in the past, just to follow a crowd, maybe you were a teenager or younger, and everyone else was doing it, so I'll do it too. If you didn't understand it fully at the first time, but now you understand the pledge that you're making, it's a good reason to do it. And this is similar to the reason I just gave prior to this. It's got to be a decision you make. And it must be a decision that you make fully understanding what you're doing. How can your heart attitude be correct if you don't understand it fully? Or if you're forced into it, either physically or mentally or spiritually? It's also for the reason that, it's also the reason that here we don't do immersions for the young. If they're too young to understand what they're doing, we're not going to immerse at such a young age. Fourth, to indicate a major change in your life for you, it doesn't mean a weakening of your spiritual relationship, but it's a strengthening of your relationship. So many will go through the immersion again when getting married or after a death, maybe not your own death, but someone else's death in your life. You get a new job or you move to a new place to live. It could even be that you just made a major decision and you're saying that it is by Adonai that the decision was made. And finally, it can also be done just to indicate a strengthening of your relationship with Adonai. Now, of course, there are many ways of immersion. I spoke a little bit about this just a moment ago, but I wanted to go through it again. There are many ways of immersion that's done around the world. Some just sprinkle water, either on the head of a baby or even the heads of adults. Some take hold of you and force you under and pull you back up. As I said earlier, we believe that since it's a personal decision, it should be the person making the decision that goes under and up on your own. We also believe it's a whole body that should be submersed under the water. Now, I'm not saying all the other ways are wrong, because it's really the heart attitude that counts. But we believe in a full self-immersion. And I'll give you a few reasons why I believe this. Before going into the scriptures that support full immersion, let me say that there are two ways of thinking of the immersion and what it symbolizes. The first is that immersing fully into the waters of the mikvah is like re-entering the womb, the place of mercy, of God's creative power. Emerging from the mikvah is like being born again. The second is the imagery that a lot of us think of is the death, burial, and resurrection along with Messiah Yeshua. Now, I believe Scripture seems to support a full immersion, getting under the water. In Judaism, they believe every hair has to go under. And I'm not so far off from that at all. I think that is correct. Look what it says in the third chapter of John, John 3:23. Now, John was also immersing at Arnon near Salim, because much water was there and many were coming and being immersed. It appears that there was a need for much water. So an indication of full immersion would be necessary. That's why they needed to go to a place of a lot of water, plentiful water. Again, we see the idea of full submission when Yeshua was immersed by John the Immerser in Matthew 3. And who wouldn't trust a man named John the Immerser about immersion? It's got it right there in his name. Matthew 3:16. After being immersed, Yeshua rose up out of the water, and behold, the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Ruach Elohim descending like a dove and coming upon him. Yeshua rose up out of the water, which means that there was enough water to cover him and not just be sprinkled upon him. And then there's what I think is perhaps the strongest reason. It's found in Mark, in the first chapter of Mark, having to do with the idea that as you come up from the water as a public display of your faith in Adonai and in the Ruach HaKodesh. Here again is John the Immerser and what he says about Yeshua and the Ruach. Do I have it up there? I do. After me comes one who is mightier than I, he proclaims. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I immersed you with water, but he will immerse you with the Ruach HaKodesh. So why do I think this is a strong argument for total immersion? Well, if the water is the representation, the representative of the Ruach, would you really just want to be sprinkled by the Ruach? You want to be fully immersed in the Ruach, don't you? You want to be fully surrounded by the Ruach, just like you're going to be fully surrounded by the water. So for me, being fully immersed in the water represents being fully immersed in the Ruach. We'll be having our immersion service right after service next week. Therefore, we're not going to have the Oneg in the Torah next week. And I encourage all of you to join us to witness those who want to go through the mikvah, to celebrate with them. I also encourage as many as you want to go through the waters, whether it be your first time, your second, your fourth, your 12th, your 17th. Maybe you do it yearly. I don't know. But you know what? You can if you want. If you wanted to restate your commitment and your pledge to him every year, there is nothing wrong with that. So if you're planning on coming, it's not a barbecue. We're not going to be cooking, but we are picnicking. So bring a picnic lunch. We'll have room in the refrigerators to keep your lunch cool until we go. We'll also have some time if you wanted to stop along the way to pick something up. But I'm not sure there's going to be something along the way, to be honest with you, depending on where we're planning. The point is, immersion in water is not your salvation. The immersion in water indicates your acceptance of his salvation and the pledge that you make to him. The re-immersion, if this is your second time, maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you think sin's taking a bigger hold in your life than it should. This is the time to rededicate your life to him. This is the time to step up and say, I want to be public about this. I want to show everybody I stand with Adonai. And I want to have the Ruach immerse me. I want to be immersed in the Ruach. Even if you are currently, it's a rededication. Even if you are currently, it's just a showing it again, showing your love for him. So if you have any thoughts about it, I encourage you to step up and go through the water again. Father, we just thank you that you give us opportunity to show ourselves, to be dedicated to you. It's not because we care what others think, care what you think. It's not because we've weakened, but because we want to re-strengthen ourselves in you. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you're going to be giving us next week during the Micnic and the immersion. And this week, for contemplating upon it, for to meditate on it, to read on it in your scriptures, to have the Ruach talk to us. Father, I just ask that for those who are unsure, that you would bring strength to their spirit. For those who are ready, that we can all celebrate with each and every one of them as they go through the waters. We just thank you. Did you give us these kind of opportunities, these kind of times in our lives, that we can walk with you and show ourselves to be strong in you and to give you opportunity to show yourself strong within each one of us. We thank you and praise you for giving us these opportunities. And everyone said, amen and amen.